This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. As Detroit works its way through bankruptcy protection, the city is trying to find a way forward that is more financially sustainable. Two teams from Western Michigan University's Integrated Supply Program have worked to help the city find savings that could add up to $2 million a year. Ken Jones is an instructor of Integrated Supply in Western's Haworth College of Business. Thank you very much for being here.
Good morning. Thank you.
And Hannah Downs is a recent graduate who was also part of the project. Hannah, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Good morning.
So let's begin with how Western Michigan University got involved in this project for the city of Detroit. Ken?
It was a little bit by happenstance, but we have a Western Michigan University employee in the development office, a gentleman by the name of Tom Egan, who's based out of the east side of the state, and he came across a very timely Cranes article that indicated that the mayor, Mike Dugan, over there in Detroit, did a presentation with industry over there, and he made this call out to industry to talk about the need for integration, the need to work together to solve common problems for the community. And he made a very specific reach out to the Metro Detroit area industry and academic institutions over there to help them help themselves in the area of finding operational improvements, process efficiencies. His statements were kind of along the lines of, hey, we know industry knows how to solve problems. We know academia knows how to solve problems. Work with us and help us become the city that we used to be, a world-class city. Help us take the city to that next level where we can provide better services to our citizens and make it just a more prosperous community for everyone, including business and academia.
And so, Hannah, how did you get involved as a student or a recent graduate?
Yeah, I was actually approached by Ken with the opportunity, knowing that I was from the east side and had a lot of pride in Detroit. And just being from Michigan, he thought this would be a great project for me to get involved with. And it happened that I had some time off between starting my job at General Motors and graduating at Western. So I was able to get involved with the projects and see them all the way through, and it was very exciting.
So tell us about what savings were found for the city of Detroit, and what does this mean going forward?
Both projects, again, kind of evolved out of a new initiative we launched here at Western Michigan University. We call our efforts Bronco Force Solutions Team. So anytime an organization or a company has a problem in the area of operations and supply chain management, they can reach out to us, and we can configure a team of students and faculty and even industry partners or alumni to work to solve problems in the area of operations and supply chain. So in our discussions with the city, we worked with the mayor's office, and they were very excited about this Bronco Force Solutions Team concept. And they said, hey, we have 18 different projects that are on the table that need help. Would you be willing to provide two teams worth of expertise in the area of vehicle maintenance and repair? And we said, absolutely. We're well equipped through our education and professional backgrounds, at least in my case, to be able to help. And what do you have in mind? So they said, well, we have a general services division that has now what's becoming a single garage. It's called the Russell Ferry Garage in pretty much downtown Detroit. And they are in the process of consolidating operations around the city. They are responsible for maintaining 2,600 vehicles, everything from, in today's scenario, garbage trucks to basic fleet vehicles, Ford Focus, Chevy Cobalt, SUVs, fire trucks, ambulances. So it's just a wide mix of things. And then they said, we do have, obviously, our DDOT, Detroit Department of Transportation entity. And, you know, certainly they provide the bus service in the city of Detroit. They have similar needs. We have issues with repair turnaround times. We have issues with parts availability. We have issues with efficiency and productivity. Can you help us there as well? And we said, absolutely. So we configured two teams. Some of the findings, quite frankly, were very systemic. You know, they don't have the most efficient procurement process today for acquiring parts. The way they manage parts in the facility, again, has opportunities for improvement. The way vehicles are scheduled for repair and maintenance has opportunities for improvement as well. So we really took a look at that total system that got a vehicle off the street into a repair and maintenance facility. And then from there, we took a look at turning things around as quickly as we possibly could. And it's a multi-phased project. We've hit, in my estimation, the first phase of about a four-phase, two-year complete overhaul of these systems. So as you can imagine, we identified some low-hanging fruit in the area of parts availability and process improvement that we believe will improve parts availability from current levels of about 50% to improved levels of 95% based on one pilot that we performed. And we also see a tremendous opportunity in the way of how vehicles are actually maintained within the facility. We have a situation today where a bus, as an example, is put up on a hoist, and a person working, a repair mechanic working on that bus, has to spend up to 30% of their time in a day moving away from that bus to go get parts, to go get equipment, tools, that type of thing. So we really worked with DDOT in this case to say, let's bring the system to you. Let's treat this bus as a surgeon would treat a patient during an emergency procedure. You know, let's have everything ready for you so we can focus in on turning around vehicles. And we're estimating just through that process alone, we'll see anywhere from about a 30 to 40% improvement. Again, there are other systems things that we've looked at. We continue to work with the city of Detroit today on the next phases of these projects, and we just see tremendous savings beyond what we've initially identified. And what we've initially identified in what I would call maybe a 60 to 90 day realization is anywhere from about $500,000 to $1 million savings for not only DDOT, but also the General Services Division, Russell Ferry Garage as well.
Did this give you some insight into how a big city, which is this large, sprawling entity, how that works, efficiently, inefficiently, otherwise?
It absolutely does. And Hannah, you may want to comment on this as well. But I guess from my perspective, what I was nicely surprised to see is, quite frankly, the people we worked with in the city of Detroit are unbelievably passionate about what they do. They are very professional. They completely embraced us and brought us into their family in terms of trying to make themselves more efficient and effective in what they do. They believe in their mission to support the citizens of the city of Detroit and the greater metro area, quite frankly. And so it was an instance where it was clear to me that they have the right ground. They have the right culture for improvement. What they lack, quite frankly, is the investment in systems, in training, in attention. And so what we tried to do is really provide a plan for how we get that training. What things do we prioritize? How do we implement things? What can we utilize that you already have as a resource within the city of Detroit? Let's just maybe apply it to different departments or different areas. So for me, it was very enlightening. I have tremendous faith in what the city of Detroit is going to do moving forward. It is getting better, and I think that's the story that we need to capture here that oftentimes maybe isn't captured in the national media.
Hannah, can you tell us about some things you observed kind of getting to see the city of Detroit firsthand?
Sure. Just to piggyback off what Ken was even saying about the pride and, just the passion that these individuals have for getting the city back on its feet. And as I mentioned earlier, I kind of share that same pride being from the east side of the state and now working in Detroit downtown. You really want it to come back. And I think that was really exciting to see. And being there to help them, and they really full-heartedly wanted our advice and wanted to hear what we had to say and the things that we could work out together. So I thought that was really great.
Hannah, as a student, how do you think this prepared you, or I should say as someone who just recently graduated, how do you think this prepared you for, life with General Motors now, in as we call it, the real world, and how did it prepare you for moving back to that side of the state?
Sure. Honestly, for the preparation part, it really got me to, again, open up my eyes to some of the complexities that there are within larger, you know, corporations as GM and also large cities as Detroit, that you might have a great idea, but it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take time. It's going to take resources. So just having that, you know, eye-opening moment again, kind of, it was really nice to have that going into my job this summer.
Are there new initiatives? Ken, you mentioned that work is still going on with the City of Detroit. So what happens going forward?
Well, I think going forward, again, everyone recognized that this is just a stop on a very wonderful train journey in the area of continuous improvement. So the City of Detroit has asked us to stay on in a consultative capacity to really help realize the project priorities and implementation plans that we built together. So that's something we said absolutely we're willing to do. So I think now we're moving into the phases of execution and implementation. We spent a lot of time in the first 8 weeks performing best practice benchmarking of other municipalities. We did some research, if you will. We performed some baseline analysis using kind of the tools that were taught in our operations and supply chain program, lean manufacturing techniques, looked at productivity, efficiency, asset utilization. Now we're really executing the game plan that we built. So it's exciting. I'm heading over there tomorrow to meet with the DDOT team, the actual director, Dan Dirks, who we worked with quite a bit, and he is in the process of rolling out our findings and also the initiatives moving forward to the entire DDOT personnel base. So this would include administrators, bus operators, repair mechanics, and anyone associated with the total bus system there. So we're going to be a part of that series of kickoff meetings, talking to everybody in their system.
Do you think that other cities could learn from the work you did in Detroit, even if they are not in the same financial situation that city currently faces?
I would say absolutely. I think it makes all the sense in the world. Quite frankly, we're willing to work with anybody and everybody. We work with small and mid-sized businesses today. We'll work with larger corporations when asked to do so. And we absolutely think we've developed a skill set over the last 8 or 10 weeks working with the City of Detroit in terms of how to apply what we teach to our students and the experiences that we give our students. We can now apply that in a municipal setting. So we would love to have the opportunity to work with the City of Kalamazoo. Quite frankly, we did actually do some benchmarking with Sean McBride over at Kalamazoo Metro Transit Authority and really took a hard look at what they did, and they are a wonderful organization. So I think we can build on that. Certainly City of Grand Rapids, Jackson, Benton Harbor, Battle Creek, there's no limit to this. And quite frankly, we'll reach out to our peer universities, the GVSUs, the Central Michigans, the Wayne States, and let's find ways that we can work together to support the entire state in this capacity. But we're certainly prepared as Western Michigan University to do what we need to do to help wherever someone needs help.
Hannah, can you tell me if there were things that surprised you about Detroit, positively, negatively, or otherwise, based on the work that you did over this several-week span?
The first meeting we attended, we weren't really sure what we were going to expect. We didn't have much going into it. We just knew a few little details here. What surprised me the most was how many people were willing to come out and volunteer their time. As Ken mentioned, there were 18 projects available. All 18 of those projects were being worked on by volunteers, with Deloitte heading the project management team as a volunteer as well. I think that was kind of actually inspirational that so many people believe in this city. Honestly, for the negatives, there wasn't much to report on. I mean, things that you would find anywhere, you know, there's some people might not cooperate. There might be a little glitch in the culture, but it was all things that we felt that we could work through as a team. And our core teams were really devoted to making changes and moving in the right direction.
Ken, were there any surprises for you that left an impression about the City of Detroit?
Yeah, again, I think I would echo Hannah's sentiments. I was just nicely surprised. If you just focus in on maybe some of the national media attention, you don't have the best perspective. And I lived in the Metro Detroit area in the 1990s, and I knew what the upside was there. But I guess it exceeded my expectations in terms of just, you know, the city's gone through a year-long bankruptcy and, quite frankly, a significant organizational decline prior to that as a function of just money's drying up. And to see the passion that was still there, the fire that was still in the belly of a lot of the organizations, the pride that they had, I've never seen an organization do so much with so little in my entire life. It was really refreshing. And I've worked with about a half dozen Fortune 500 companies, and I've done a lot of consulting over the last 10 or 12 years, and I was just really nicely surprised. So now I think there's a very intense focus, and resources are going to come to the city, and they're going to be prioritized on the right things, and we're going to have metrics to capture how effective we are, and we're going to have processes to ensure that we're sustaining these initiatives, and I'm really, really excited to see what comes out. But again, on the downside, typical organizational stuff. I would agree with Hannah. The city of Detroit is not unlike a larger corporation. There are cultural issues. There are management and leadership issues. There are issues with having goals and objectives that don't really have a mechanism to get translated into action and results. So we're going to stay on to make sure that happens. That's probably the most critical thing here at this point. We know what the game plan is. We just have to execute it almost like a sports team.
Now, you mentioned that some of these issues might also apply to big corporations. Is that another step here possibly in the process, that some of the work done here could be taken to a large corporation, which, as you say, can have some of the same organizational issues as a large city, perhaps somewhat different because it is private sector?
That's fair to say. Fortunately, with our integrated supply management program, it's a nationally ranked program, and we have large corporations from all over the country come to recruit our students. We do work with them today. We have a lot of students that work on very critical projects for them in the form of internships. I think that's one of the opportunities that we're discussing with these large corporations. We have executive council meetings with them and small to mid-sized businesses as well. And, you know, we're really trying to look at better ways we can work together. Today, we tend to tackle maybe an isolated project that an intern will go execute. One of the things we've started talking about is why don't you pick something up on your priority list, something a little bit more critical to your operation, and why don't we work on that together as maybe a team of faculty and individuals like myself, along with possibly even some Bronco alums that might be consultants or have availability. Let's really tackle these tougher things for you. So that dialogue's already begun, and I think maybe with our work with Detroit as somewhat of an evidence base, we might be able to have an even stronger dialogue around that moving forward.
And Hannah, you are now at a large corporation, General Motors. It's one of the largest in the world. So do you see this, in day-to-day where you're at, that there are organizational issues and maybe someone from the outside with a fresh set of eyes who comes in, or at least a new employee in your case, has a different way of looking at things that can make things a little better?
Absolutely. I mean, as we mentioned, there's issues everywhere with things, process issues, cultural issues. Even being a new employee here, you notice some of the process issues that you can create teams within the company to solve those problems and try and actually sit down and get a group of people together. It really just starts when you start the conversation, when you say, this needs to be changed, here are my complaints. And it's what we did with the City of Detroit project. We said, what's wrong here? What do you need our help with? And with that, you can start building on the solutions. And that's what's happening here and probably in most corporations. They want to be more efficient. And the root cause of that and the start of it is all just finding out what's going wrong.
Ken and Hannah, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Ken Jones is an instructor of integrated supply in Western Michigan University's Hayworth College of Business. Hannah Downs is a recent graduate who was also part of the project to identify savings in the city of Detroit.